Welcome to Essential Leadership Skills. Joining us today is Samantha Buckley Hugeson, a renowned leader and life coach. Hailing from Seattle and now living in Cabo San Lucas, Samantha is a U.S. certified coach and founder of A Designed Life LLC. She's celebrated for her transparent, humorous approach to coaching. An Amazon International best-selling author, Samantha believes in making life fun. She's here to discuss leadership and how to design a life filled with joy. Samantha, great to have you with us.
This is a Touchstone Publishers presentation, your trusted source of leadership knowledge.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you, Samantha, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure getting to know a little bit about you and your book. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But thank you very much for coming with us today.
My pleasure. I'm so excited. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you're more than welcome. Hey, what our traditional first question always is, what is it about your organization, your book that you've written, those type of things that people really don't know about, but maybe you can say what it is? What's the story behind all that?
Well, the title of my book is Unstuck Yourself, The Guide to Designing a Life You Love. And I think what motivated that book title is because people back before I went completely virtual with my coaching would walk into my office. I'm like, what's up? What? How can I love and support you today? What are we doing? I'm stuck. We're stuck. So I think what people may not know about the book specifically is it's actually a workbook. So it's actually will walk you through unstucking yourself.
Sounds like good. That's good. And that's good. Something good to know, because when you think about a book, you very rarely think about it being a workbook. But we're going to get into that pretty much and give you a great opportunity to explain that. What was the philosophy behind writing the book? I understand you're sitting, people come in and say, okay, I'm stuck. But what's the philosophy that you discussed in the book that you can give us a high level view of?
It's about having a vision for a life that you'd really love to live. And I started out as a sales coach and did a lot of business coaching and sales training and things like that. And what it really comes down to is that the whole person, be it an executive at work, or that same executive can be a mom, and that same executive could be a single mom or a wife, or that same executive could be having health issues, is to really coach to the real, to the whole person, the entire person, the person that has relationships and health and business. So the philosophy was, is let's work with, help transform the whole person.
Transform the whole person. So there's some challenges based in that. Aren't there a few challenges that come up through that? How do we deal with, or what have you seen? That's a better question. What have you seen as far as the challenges out there we need to be aware of?
If your marriage is struggling, it's hard not to take it to work. If work is struggling, it's hard not to take it to your marriage. If you have a diagnosis or you have an ailment, it's hard not to bleed over into all of these other, let's call them, pillars of your life. So it's to recognize that if we're going to be leaders, we have to address the entire person. Back when I really got into business, I'm almost 60. So when I got into business, it was all about the business. It wasn't really about nurturing or developing people or leading the whole person. It was about getting those numbers, getting the work done, and climbing the corporate ladder. The world needs a little bit more whole person being addressed, in my opinion.
Okay, and so when you look at, can you think of a specific challenge that maybe if I came to you for this type of coaching that, I won't say typical, but maybe it comes up more often than not that you would have a solution for? Work-life balance for one.
Yeah, the work-life balance.
I'm one of those people who don't believe in work-life balance. Is that something?
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question because I don't believe in it either, but it might be different than yours. I want to know why you don't believe in it first. Tell me what that sounds like.
I just take it from a logical viewpoint. If you're working 8 hours a day, sometimes it's 10 hours a day, it takes you an hour or two to get there, an hour or two to get back. you're looking at 12, 14 hours. And then you're looking at meal prep and things like that. And then you really don't have 8 hours out of that day left over for yourself. You maybe have 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. So that means you don't have that ability to have the balance because you have 3 or 4 and you're going to recover an hour. Some of us like to go watch TV for
right.
2 hours.
Right, veg out. Yeah.
2 hours. It's time to go to bed. We don't have, and that's just from the logical viewpoint, time-wise. So that's my first disagreement with the idea of work-life balance, because it's just not going to be balanced based upon the hours.
I agree. And so this is why I would say yes, and the tagline of my book is How to Design a Life You Love. The guide to designing a life you love. And so there's, I don't believe that we need to fit into that model anymore. I work with a lot of startups, entrepreneurs, leadership. You become more effective. You can do it in a shorter period of time. A lot of our work as leaders can be done remotely. Not all of it. I think that being physically in a space with other human beings is really important. But I do almost everything I do virtually. And we learned over 2020 through 2023, a lot of people could go remote. So you can start buying time. So it's really the skills I teach people is how to have the world adapt to what would light them up versus trying to fit their round peg into a square hole where they're miserable. So I don't believe in life work balance either. I think it's, when I was a kid, there was a teeter totter down at the park. And if I was by myself, because my parents were like, get out of the house and don't come back till the streetlights come on. And my friends were all busy. I would get on the teeter totter and I would stand in the middle of it. But what happens is you're trying to balance it. So you bang and then you bang either direction, right? Yeah. So that's how I see that. But you can... Go ahead. You were going to say something?
I was just going to say, coach me out of that thought because... No, I was just going to say, coach me out of that thinking because that is, like you said, bang, bang, it's a pendulum swinging. And if you're trying to get all the work done best, you're going to hit the wall someplace.
Yeah.
So coach me out of that. How, if I'm one of your clients, just give us a quick coaching session, if you will.
What I would do is we would start with a list of what you would love to have in your life. And what's just not working for you. What's in my life, we call it a not it. And since your program talks to a lot of business people are familiar with Ben Franklin's or the pros and cons list. And so a love and not it list is very much the same. That's the question. What would I love in my career? Not what do I love about my job. It's what would I love in my professional life? What would I love? I'd love to work less than 40 hours a week. I'd love to work remotely. I'd love to earn $600 million, whatever it is that you would love. What happens when we start doing that is what we don't want will start making an appearance. So what we don't want is to commute an hour and a half each way. We don't want to leave for work in the dark and return home from work in the dark. There's these types of things, right? So if I were to coach you, which takes a little bit longer than the few minutes we have.
Sure.
I don't know if you want to be outed in front of all your listeners, but...
Don't care.
Okay, cool. So we go through the not it side and we reframe it to the, okay, so if you don't want to commute an hour each way, what would you really love? So let me ask you, Glenn, what would you really love?
I would love just the simple fact that I can commute for 5 minutes to get to my downstairs office.
Beautiful. So I would love to work from home. Let's say that this is a person that currently is doing that yucky commuting. I would love to work from home.
As you're saying, it makes me think and have the ability to, or the audience to be able to travel and speak when I want to. To be able to lay out the dates I want to go out and speak.
Amen. Okay. So I work to the hours of my liking. So that might be something else that you put on the love side. So we don't ignore the not it side, but we know that coin can be flipped over. We know that there's another side to it. Sometimes it would be, I don't know, what's another not it that people talk about? Working excessive hours, right? They work too many hours. So what would you love?
Looking for a boss they don't. Yeah.
Or they work for a boss they don't love, right? So then on the love side is I work less than 40 hours a week. I vacation 2 months a year. I love my boss and I have a really competent team that I trust. When you really start to decide, it's reverse engineering. And this is what I do in the book. And this is what I do with a lot of my coaching. A lot of my coaching is also accountability, of course. I just moved a client that used to see me weekly, who went to monthly. Then we went to biweekly. I just moved her back to weekly because she just needs accountability. She's at the top of her organization and she needs somebody up there to remind her, oh no, we're doing
this. It's your day, yeah.
This is, yeah, it's like, I'm the boss today, so let's go. Anyway, but when you start going in the reverse engineering of it, so if you were to read your love side, and again, we're just talking about career, and you read it as, oh, I love my job. I get to work. I get to commute 5 minutes downstairs, and I got to stop by and get my favorite coffee in my kitchen on the way. I love that I earn more than six figures. I love that I work 35 hours a week. I love that I have the most amazing, competent team, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so then the science of this, there's a couple of scientific pieces of this. One is subconscious mind believes it's happening. So your self-esteem and your energy starts getting more in alignment with that kind of life. And if I'm your coach and I have that, let's call it your vision for your career, or your health or your business, whatever. If I had that, I would say, okay, Glenn, so what's something you can do today in the direction of that?
Okay. Now, is that where...
Action? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because is that some of the action that might be required here? Is that where you start talking a little bit about the communication process, the communication strategies necessary? Is that where that comes in at that point? Or some of the action, maybe their communication skills or strategies?
Maybe. Here's the thing. Well, almost always, and I ran a lot of businesses. So when I would go into a business in my past life, it was usually a company that maybe did $1 million a month type size, not giant, whatever. And I would go in and reverse engineer it. I'd see, okay, this is my goal. My goal is X amount of P&L. My goal is this type of staff. My goal is this percentage, blah, 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 blah. And then in the business world, I would say, okay, how am I going to do that? And I had experience in it. The way that I coach now, I don't do how at all. In coaching with people in their life and in their business and in their health, I do what? So I started with you. I know I'm losing you. I'm going to tell you. I started with you when we were doing the love and not it list. I said, what would you love? What would you love? I didn't say, how would you accomplish that? Because guess what would happen? Most people would say, well, I can't. If I could, I would have been doing it already. That's not how it works. You say, okay, so if you were to work 40 hours or less a week, what's a thing you could do in the direction of that today? It's just a thing. Oh, I could reschedule my hours. I could talk to my boss about doing this. I could hire an assistant. You always can come up with an idea of how to make that happen. What's just a thing? It's not the end-all perfect thing, but how do I move the needle in that area today? How do I move the needle in that area today? Okay. And you'd be amazed as you start moving, your perception changes and you start seeing possibility.
Okay. And just as a shift of perception, really, my question about communication is how do we apply communication? That's not it. You're saying it's the what.
It's
so I know what I want to have happen. What's the thing I can do to push that just a little bit?
Yeah. And I do a little bit of the woo spiritual stuff in that too. But science works too, however you want to say it, is that there's things happen for a reason. And usually where your thoughts go is where things start happening. Energy flows. So if you're always thinking, this is terrible, I hate this, I hate my boss, I hate my job, I hate my life, here's more of it. Yeah. Our perception shifts to, hey, there's always a solution. So what could be a solution? Just one of them. Doesn't have to be the end all be all. But when you start taking some action, more gets revealed.
Okay. Now you intrigued me just a little bit. So I'm going to.
Just a little bit?
I'm going to go off the subject just for a little bit for a second.
Let's go.
The woo part of it.
The woo woo.
That intrigues me. But give me just a little bit, because even though I think the woo is not woo, I think it's mostly science-based.
And that's why I backed it up with science too, yeah.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about this woo, how you view it, and talk about the what. How does that work?
Okay. So in the woo, and we'll call it science, okay, because that way we, most people that are spiritual also believe in science. It's not usually the other way around, so we'll go it that way. Here's the thing. A thought is an energy. It's a vibration. It is.
Yes.
Okay. So like attracts. So energetically, you get more of whatever you're energizing. Period. And we're like, it's like scientifically, we're all gray matter. We're all like, scientifically, we're all like atoms and molecules and all that stuff. We're 100% energy. You'd have to... Oh, what's the brilliant physicist? Come on. The quantum leap.
Quantum theory. I think we're talking about Albert Einstein. That's what I think you're looking for.
No, it's not.
Well, it's not him.
He's in my book.
They talk about quantum theory.
Quote him in my book. Anyway, get my book and go to chapter G-O-D, the grand overall designer. In my book, I do a whole chapter on the woo and science.
Yeah.
And it's called the grand overall designer, whatever people think that is, right?
Okay.
It's pretty cool. So scientifically, it's proven, even if somebody has an illness, they always talk about positivity. One of my best friend's husbands got a terrible diagnosis, and it's terminal. By the way, we're all terminal, but this one's a little faster than we would expect. So one of the things in the intake for a trial was, where are your thoughts? What do you think about this? What do you have to look forward to? So even the medical profession brings in the facts that thoughts have a massive impact on outcomes. So even if you use it in leadership and in business, right? If you believe it's going to work out and you put all the energy in, what's a way this is going to work out? I know there's a solution, and for that, I'm grateful. I don't know what the solution is, but I know it exists. So we'll just keep asking the what.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's incredible.
It is incredible. And talking about diagnosis of terminal disease, I remember a quick story about Deepak Chopra talking to one of his patients and told her, you're stage 4 terminal cancer, blah, blah. And he goes, here's your odds. And he goes through the whole thing. And then he said, but you have to remember one thing. All of us doctors are quacks. How do you want it to come out?
I'm applauding that.
Yeah.
I'm just applauding that.
It just amazed me. All of us doctors are quacks. And I think that comes down to what you're saying in the loop or the science. It's really science. We can go back and look at how the brain activates and looks. When you decide what you want, the brain finds a way to see it.
Yep. And please, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so apply that into the decision-making process. How do you want it to come out? What do you want to see at the end of it?
I'd like to applaud you for using the word decision. Decide is one of my favorite words. Make a decision. And if it doesn't work out, then make another decision. But the word decide in itself is so powerful because it gives you focus. For instance, I think it's Webster's. It might be some other dictionary. But if you look at all the different meanings of the word decide, one of the meanings that stands out for me is to cut away from. So when you make a decision, you cut away from all that is not in alignment with that decision. I look at it as putting blinders on for your distractions. I've decided for this. Therefore, you put the energy behind that. And I'm telling you, when you make a decision and you put the energy behind it, and I talk to my clients about this all the time, I said, when have you really made a decision that you didn't get? And it's not common that people don't get what they decide for. When they try, that's different. Oh, I tried. No, it's not making a decision now, is it?
Yeah, it's not. It's not. Yeah. I'm one of those, you don't know me, but I'm one of those geeky people who just, I don't like movies, but I love the Star Wars movie.
Okay, so, I have kids that are geeks. I love them.
Yeah, it really is as simple as the try is the fail.
Thank you.
Decide to do it.
Thank you. What was his name, the little guy? I love
Yoda.
Him. Yoda. Yeah, exactly. I think I quote Yoda too in the book. It's the same thing.
I just think that's really, talk about your skills and your ability to coach folks and get them better. I think, isn't that, have you ever done it the other way where it was like, okay, step one, step two, step three? And then if so, what caused you to switch to this way of saying what it is, make that decision? What caused you to switch that, or what caused you to decide, okay, that's the way it should be taught?
To reverse engineer it, because I think that's your question, is instead of making a business plan and saying step one, two, three, four, and because I don't know it all. And when I, and like I said, I'm becoming a mature woman in age, not in maturity, but anyway, lots of experiences in life and business and that. And I know that the subconscious mind is dumb and that it'll believe anything you tell it. It's just a storage of memories and, you know, what you put into it. It doesn't do things on its own. Subconscious mind just sits there and holds on to it. We also know through science, subconscious mind, they say, rests maybe 20% of the time. That means it's active like 80% of the time. We also know that if thoughts become things and thoughts are vibration, and if your subconscious mind is convinced that you work from home and you have autonomy, and you have this incredible staff, and you travel 2 to 4 months a year, and it's sending out that frequency all the time, it's not a stretch. After time, conscious mind, subconscious mind meld together, and it's not a stretch anymore. I used to, it's visualization. I didn't invent that, right? That's visualization's proven too.
Right.
We look at the athletes, they discovered that, I want to say in the 70s with the athletes, right? They hooked them all up to monitors and they said, okay, run the race in your mind. Heart rate went up, everything, right?
And so that's your coaching for business leaders too then. Run the decision.
Absolutely.
Run the team meeting, run the one-on-one meetings in your mind before it happens.
Yep.
Do you ever talk about that when that happens, when you're running that information before, when you're running, you're practicing it beforehand, you're more relaxed, more capable, you're going to get your results? You ever, that's part of it, right?
Absolutely. And be open to be redirected. My background is a lot of training as well. So when I run meetings, they've got good boundaries on them usually. However, I'll give you an example. As I said, I live in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, and there is a lot of those guys and gals out on the road trying to hustle you to get you to go to timeshare tours and things like that. Literally a dozen years ago, a resort hired me to do a sales seminar, training seminar to help these types of people be more effective. And so one of the techniques I taught them, and I'll tell you why, is one of the gals was new and she was afraid of approaching people. And I'm like, you're in the wrong business if you're afraid of it. But one of the techniques I gave her was, and I said, I want you to visualize it every morning. I want you to visualize how easy it is for you. I want you to visualize how successful you are. I want you to see everything at the end of the day, your stat sheet or whatever. I want you to just go through her day in her head as successfully. I bumped into her on the road, on the street one night, like literally 4 months later, and she came up and she just goes, oh my God, it changed my life. I'm one of the top performers. She asked to take a picture with me. So I know it works. I know it works. That's visualization again. I didn't invent it.
Yeah.
Just utilize it. And you can utilize it and get your team to visualize it. So if it did work out, what might that look like? Get them in that.
Okay. Great question. If it did work out, what would it look like?
Then they say, I don't know. So you know what the answer to that is? Let's pretend you did know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You can say I don't know to your coach or to your boss. You get to say, let's pretend you did know. Let's think outside of the box. Let's noodle this. What might it look like if it worked out?
Well, that's a powerful concept. I had a coach who asked me that, and I said, I don't know. And he didn't say another word. He just got quiet.
Well, that's why I'm a master coach.
Yeah.
You don't get off the hook with me ever.
Well, you know what? Well, he didn't let me get off the hook because he just decided to be quiet.
Okay.
And I got quiet and I started thinking about it, but I like your method better. just the follow-on question as well. That's a good follow-on question.
It also allows me to answer in a way that might not be the best answer, but any answer when you're trying to noodle something, when you're really trying to discern something, is better than no answer. It gets you on that path of perception again. Anyway, go ahead. We're going to ask it.
Yeah. Well, because when we're doing this with our team, and we're working with our team to do this, these are, and the way I'm set up, and I think a lot of, I know, like, my sister works for one of the largest defense contractors in the world. Mm-hmm. And they went through this pandemic where they were going and no one was coming to the office. Mm-hmm. That company liked it but didn't like it just because they started saving money on office space throughout the world. So now they drastically reduced their footprint. So they liked it and didn't like it. But she didn't like it because she never was able to connect in these remote sessions.
Right.
How do you coach me and her to be better at connecting these remote sessions? If I ask somebody that question, I don't really, it's hard for me to determine. So give me, if you can, share some strategies for connecting with people in the remote settings.
Yeah. So I can tell you for me, and then advice for others that are leaders. So for me, I do most of my coaching one-on-one. And I do it with it. You have to have your video camera on. I need to see you. We need to see each other. I want to be with you. It's like we're in the same room.
Okay.
So that's really important for my one-on-ones. And I also do groups, and the same thing. We're in a Zoom room and every camera has to be on. That's that piece of it. Now, I mentioned earlier at the top of our conversation about how connection is really important in an organization.
Yes.
Because an organization also represents community. It's also a community. And to be in community, you got to physically be there. So that's where the ideal job is. I work remotely 3 days a week. Or if I was a leader, let's say this was back in the 90s, I had offices all over. My headquarters was actually in Dallas, Texas.
Hmm.
My home was outside of Seattle, Washington.
Wow. Okay.
And that was a lot what changed what I really wanted for my life. What I wanted is not to be traveling all the time. But I will tell you, it's really important that you physically, if you are leading people in a business situation, you do need to a team.
Okay.
You got to show up physically every once in a while. You really do. You have to show up physically every once in a while.
Doesn't that coaching required here from you, but doesn't it take us really deeper into this out of balance situation? If I have to travel and it's on a schedule. So again, I'll use my sister. Her office is in San Diego and she has offices in outside of Boston and in London, and she has to travel every now and then to touch base with these folks.
Yep. That's great though. But it's every now and then. That's where, so maybe she turns around, like I've coached people that were directors of regions, and she's got to find her groove on the travel. Okay, I only travel every other week and I hit 4 locations at once, or every month. She has to have boundaries and find out what worked for her.
What just hit me though is that she has to have boundaries, and she can't get those boundaries if she doesn't know what she really wants.
Amen. So what would I love? I'd love to travel. When I did my first What Would I Love list, I wanted a job that I didn't travel more than 20% of the time.
I see. And that's knowing nice. What you want is much easier to go to your boss or the people and say, this is what I would like to do.
Yeah.
And forget, how can we make this happen? Wow.
You know what? This is what I really want. I'm most effective when I do this. Because there's a really great thing with good companies, and they understand their company culture. Now with unemployment so low, employers better have a strong company culture. In other words, it's hard. I have a client who is, she's a fractional human resource, VP of human resource. So basically in recruiter, things like that. So she'll go into companies and say, okay, I'm an expert HR and I'll give you 40 hours a month or something. So for smaller companies that can't afford, they're growing, they can't afford to have a $200,000 employee, they can get a $40,000 type employee, right?
Yes.
Anyway, and what she's learning, and I'll share that with you leaders out there, is you better have a good culture, because she'll try and lure somebody away from a job to another company. She's like, yes, but it's more money. And they're like, yeah, but I really love my people here. I love the boss. I love my company. I'm really happy right now. So remember that, leaders.
And the times have changed, haven't they? And people used to switch for $1,000, $2,000 a year.
We're products of the 90s. We were always chasing the money.
Yeah, but you're a product of the 90s. I'm more of the 80s, I'm afraid.
Okay, still 80s, 90s. Yeah. It was very similar culture. What's funny, in my 40s is when I said, you know what I want more of? Time.
Yeah.
That in my mid-40s is when I said, I want time. That's when I uprooted my family, our whole life. My husband and I left the grind and we moved to Mexico and we raised our small children and created our own businesses because time was so valuable to us.
And when you look at it like that, and just for the leaders out there, I think that's something we've forgotten. When we look at it like that, time is valuable, being wanted is valuable. And that's why it's hard to get us back to full employment, because most of these folks have fractional CTO or a fractional human resource person. They're in control of their time.
Yep.
And so I think the question becomes, and the question comes to you, is what are some of the top line things we can do to make people want to be with us, even though they may get paid $2 or $3 less an hour or $2,000 or $3,000 less a month?
Right. Most people want to work someplace that they feel appreciated and that's fun.
Okay.
I know that's not okay. So, for instance, I'm from Seattle, Washington. So, my beloved coach, Carol, is now no longer the coach of the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
I will tell you what all the players say about Coach Carol. All the players were like, you made it fun. We wanted to perform for you. We wanted to not let you down. And that's the thing, is I've always believed there's two ways of leading. There's more, but the two that I'm going to speak to is, one is through fear and intimidation. Is very short-lived. Those people really are only there for the paycheck. They're only there for the paycheck because they don't need to be. And then the other one is love and guilt. Love and guilt is they love you so much they feel guilty when they don't perform. Give them an environment where they can thrive. Give them an environment. Yeah, go ahead.
I would say even in sporting, the football and things like that, that difference between how Coach Carroll, 14 years at Seattle, he's so successful at USC. Before that, he wasn't. And I remember reading him and a couple other coaches that kind of follow along with and read their works. I remember it was either reading or someone had interviewed him, and he said, it wasn't fun before then. I was screaming. I was shouting. I was demanding of people. But then he made it fun, but he also had a pretty high standard.
Absolutely. Rise up.
Yeah.
That goes to the self-esteem.
Oh.
I want to be part of this. I want more of that. I want to be part of that.
Yes. Yeah. And that goes through something else when it talks about, and I won't spend a lot of time, but I'll just ask you this ideal of paying for people's education. Mm-hmm. You have employees and you're paying for the education. That creates loyalty, not just for the job. So I can think of people who are at Starbucks who are still waiting to become a lawyer with Starbucks, even though it's not there yet.
Right.
So they get an opening there. They're going to take that opening and leave wherever they're at to go back to Starbucks to be a lawyer for Starbucks on their legal staff because they pay for their education.
Yeah.
And I think that's, go ahead, please.
I think people, one of the opening lines I say to all my clients, and I don't care if they own a multi-million-dollar business or if they have a small bookkeeping firm, okay? Because I have, my niche is leaders and typically women. I love working with women. I love working with women because I'm a life coach. And I know that women typically, and of course this is not a blanket statement, juggle a heck of a lot more. So I love to support them. But one of my opening questions is, how can I love and support you today? I know that doesn't sound very corporate-y, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to go do a workshop for young professionals organizations. These guys are running big companies and they're young and that. And I will open it up with, how can I love and support you today?
See, I think leaders should hear that. You mean that there's going to be people out there who are going to say, I don't want to say love.
Don't then.
Well, don't. I know a coach who also just retired. Every year at the start of the year, he brings all his players get together, and he has each coach come up to him, and he gets them. I don't know whether he told them to do this or not, but they all say, my job here is to support you.
Yes.
So knock on my door whenever you want to for support. You may not be under my control, but if you need support, here I am.
Amen.
And then this year, last year, we're talking about Nick Saban. Last year, his coaches really took under that part. I'm wondering if you agree that leaders, because you said it, leaders should be supporting. Is that another way of saying being the servant leader? I think that's a slogan that we miss a lot, but is that another way of saying that?
Sure. Absolutely. And this is a little off topic, but married to what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I have to convince, unfortunately, a lot of my leaders to hire very strong people underneath them.
Yes.
And I said, no, you need somebody that wants your job. Because what's going to happen is they're going to push you, A, to get better, or B, they're going to buy you time. Because they're going to be competent for you to be able to go and have that 2 to 4 months off a year or what have you, or develop people or yada, yada, yada. So having a really strong person, hire very powerful people or hungry people under you that want to move up. They want your job. Don't get me wrong. We need the ones that don't want to move up and all that kind of good stuff. But that does not sit right below a leader, right?
No. Yeah,
and your job is to develop people. That is your job. If your job was to be the boss, under that title is develop people. Raise them. And if they love you, and you have an open, supportive relationship, a nurturing, growing, not always easy, guess what? They're not going to backstab you.
You said Pete Carroll, and like I've always been a fan of his and always followed him. His number one thing was to develop people. He would actually take off seasons to develop his coaches. He would have an interview with him for the next position, even if it was his position. Even
Amen.
Though he realized that he's going to lose them to another team. His number one job was to develop people.
There's nothing but good in that.
Yeah, I think so. But I also wonder, because when we talk about developing people and getting them to love and respect you and want to do those things, still the stance when it comes time for change is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
No, a change in the corporation, change, well, we had that big disastrous or what, powerful, it could be disastrous for some, powerful for some, COVID thing, the pandemic area.
Yeah.
How do you deal with the change? I mean, it could be small, but it could be large.
Here's the deal. It's a professional relationship. It's a professional and a relationship. I'll tell you, I had a project that I came in and it was a startup. And I love startups. I love I love messy things and cleaning them up. And then I went out. I don't want to be there that long. This is back in my career, my businessy, corporate-y life. And I had this really cool project and the guy that hired me and I became like besties. Like literally, and guess what? He had to terminate me. First in, first out. But it's business. He had to not renew my contract. But you wanna know the truth? I wouldn't have renewed my contract either. I was expensive. They could find somebody else to do it. If the money, if the company, if the business is not supporting that kind of thing, it's not supporting that kind of thing. So maybe as a leader, your job is to make sure that people have a business mind as well as this other kind of personal community feeling. Business is business.
That's a good point. And I think a lot of leaders are afraid to go one way or the other, but mostly afraid to build a community to know that it's business.
Yeah. And they can use something like put a hat on. It's like they can, come on, we're talking sports now. How many times put the rally cap on? Change, right? They can say, okay, yes. I'm going to wear my boss hat. Okay, I'm going to wear my I love you friend hat. I'm going to it's fine.
You know, that's very curious because we don't do that. Sometimes we don't do one side or the other. We don't tell people the truth as they're coming up. I'm sure it's not like you weren't surprised when it came time for them to say, okay, we got a good, we can't use you. It wasn't a surprise to you.
No, I mean, because I wouldn't have made the decision to keep me either. I'd already done all the work, and now they could have somebody else do the coasting part for a lot less.
Yeah, and then you have a great reputation, so people are going to bring you back on anyway, add more. So that's what you should be looking at. I think you should look at that. When we talk about all the different things you're talking about, and I like the idea of, I'm going to hire somebody who does better, who knows the job better than I know, who maybe they're on social media or pot. They know all these things better than I know. I'm going to hire them better.
Okay.
And I think that comes from folks like you who are teaching about mentorship and developing people through mentorship. Can you talk a little bit about your beliefs about mentorship and development?
Sure, because I do a lot of both. So I believe in hiring experts. I think that the person that thinks they know it all knows the least. If I'm going to put a team together, I want to hire experts in that field. Let's call it social media or doing a podcast or accounting or bookkeepers. Just so you know, I can do my own taxes. I can do my own social media. I can do my bookkeeping. I hire all those people. I can do my appointment setting. I hire those people. Biggest reason is because I don't want to do it. There's number one. I don't want to do it. So I want experts to do it so I can focus my time on doing what I love. Mentoring is very much about I see you and you can't see your own eyebrows. That's a lot about coaching. I can see your eyebrows. You can't see them all. So you create people that are open to learning new things and they can bring their self-esteem to the table saying, I'm an expert bookkeeper or I'm an expert social media and show up as that. I learned in my early 30s, I had a boss who I called a mentor. He never asked me to call him a mentor, but he clearly was. And it's funny that you mentioned the Dalai Lama earlier. His name was Don and I used to call him the Donny Lama. Because he was so gracious. He was such a great leader because he did. He had his, you know, panel of managers, let's call it. And we all had the same, we were all sales managers, just so you know. It was a big organization. But we were all strong in different areas. We were all strong. And he was very good at identifying. You know, this one's the analytical one, and this is the nurturer, and this is this type of thing. It was incredible. And he was never, I know it all, but he knew all of us and he used our skills. It was incredible.
He just, from the simple fact that he was your mentor, you picked up that skills or you learned about that skill. It's really important to develop your mentors.
Yeah.
Organizations.
Yeah.
What method do you talk about in your book about me?
I don't. No, because my book is more about life design and only a pillar of it was business. Yeah, so there's four pillars I talk about specifically in my book. Yeah. One is your career and your creative expression, because some people are retired, but the more time we have on our hands, the more we need something to do with it. So career and creative expression is one pillar. Love and relationships is another pillar. Health and well-being is another pillar. And time freedom, money freedom is the fourth.
Okay.
Yes, they all cross over. That's why I'm a life coach.
Really, they all cross over. And I'm wondering, this may be a hard question because I don't think I could have answered. How do you gauge success in those four pillars?
It's whatever you think it is. Success to me is measured in happiness and freedom.
You don't think there's a formula that we as humans are wired to get there?
No, there probably is. I'm just saying that success to me, for instance, in my 20s, success was climbing the corporate ladder. You know what I mean? It was the big office and I made it. In my 30s, it was being a good mom. in my 40s, it was still being a good mom and starting a new business, because I started my coaching business when I was 45, and I'm 57 now. So quitting the corporate grind. Success, I really believe, is based on happiness. And when I say that, happiness is how much is enough money to keep you happy. So the goal for me shifted. Like I said, in my 20s, it was money and the corporate status and things like that. In my 40s, it was time, freedom. I want time to raise my children. I want time to develop this new business where I feel that I'm more serving, like my coaching business.
Right.
I work less than 20 hours a week and I make a good living. So that I feel very successful.
I think most people I talk to on this program and just in life, just as a side note, that when they stop trying to put in 60 hours a week, they become much more successful.
Amen.
And start making more money. But it's hard to get past that paradigm of you have to work to be successful. You have to grind it out.
No, I know. The thing is that it's the time freedom, money freedom. It's an actual pillar in the book.
Yeah, I'm curious about the time freedom, money freedom. How do we, is that these days you have leaders who will maybe grab a hold of that. But when you're working with a person who typically likes to follow, you have a thought as to how, if possible, raise their vibration, their feelings about this time, freedom, money, freedom thing. So they stop doing just the bare minimum to get by.
Sometimes it's how they're wired. I got to say, and timing is everything. I think about it back, something that a lot of us have probably have in common has been a fitness goal. It could be a weight goal or an exercise goal, but somewhere in our lifetime, we wanted to somehow get in shape, right?
Yeah.
But the timing has to be right, because people fail more often than they succeed at a fitness goal. So why is it that sometimes people have tried a million diets and then suddenly they're killing it? It's just timing. You have to just keep going after it. The thing is, if you're a worker bee, which God bless the worker bees, right? If you're not going to be in charge of that. But let's say we did do a love and not it on time freedom. I'd like to be home with my grandchildren. I or see them on weekends, or I'd like to... Maybe they're going to turn one of their creative endeavors into a business. We've got more people self-employed now than ever because of time freedom, because they don't want to commute into an office downtown, yada, 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 right? If you know what you want, and you mentioned it earlier, even like with your sister, first thing is let's really know what I would love in my life. Let's just know what I would love. I would love this. I would love that. And it becomes almost like a guide. So then what's the thing I could do to create that? I could go to my boss and say, hey, I want to work remotely 3 days a week. Or maybe this isn't the job for me because I want to find a job where I work remotely 3 days a week. Whatever. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and it's not the 80s, 90s anymore. Everybody wants, not everybody, but a lot of people can appreciate that. As long as you can handle the responsibility of 3 days a week and working.
Right.
But that's why you and I can live any place in the world and work.
Absolutely. And that was one of my goals when I became a coach, and my husband too. Literally, we ripcorded out of our big U.S. American corporate life at 45. And we started over with two small children.
I bet you were much happier.
Oh my gosh. Actually, we were 40 when we left.
Okay.
So we had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And it's so funny. People say, oh my God, you work from home. Oh, you can travel and you're so lucky, you live in Cabo, blah, blah, blah. It's not luck, it was pure design. I'm absolutely blessed, but I knew what I wanted. I wanted to raise my children. We as a family wanted to drop them off at school, because I was the last big kid of the 70s. Come on, we all were, most of us. You and I were. I wanted to raise my kids, I wanted to be present. I wanted to not leave work for work when it's dark, because I'm from Seattle, so it's always dark up there in the winter,
right?
I get home in the dark, and I wanted to not have to take buses or pay $500 a month for parking, or, you know what I mean? It's all these things. So what did I want? I knew what I wanted. And then it's just amazing. Okay, so what's the thing I could do toward that? Let's go try out Mexico for a while.
Yeah. And if you hadn't asked yourself what did you want, you probably would have had blinders that go different directions. So that's what's useful about all this. I know we went a little for a minute, but that's a very useful way, I think, for leaders.
It's actually a skill.
Yeah.
So even if it's a, what do you want? I want a profitable department. Okay. So if there was no conditions and circumstances, in other words, but I can't because I don't have enough staff, or I can't because of this account, or I can't because I don't want to hear the can'ts. Let's just say you could.
Yeah.
What would that look like? There's number one. What would that look like?
Okay.
And what's something you can do in the direction of that? You've got people that are saying, I got to lay off a bunch of people. Okay, that, or you can go get a new account that pays for them. What's something you can do?
And we can even go smaller than that, because you mentioned it. What is it? What do I want? What do I want to see in my team meeting? What's going to make a great team meeting? Mm-hmm. And what's the next step I have to do to take that team meeting? Mm-hmm. Or that one-on-one meeting? I think you and I are both kind of fans, just based upon what you said about one-on-one meetings over team.
Yeah. Yeah. But reverse engineer it. Look at it at the end.
Yeah. What does that look like?
What's that look like? Yeah. If this is really successful, what would that look like?
Mm,
so great. People are going to live one of two ways. They're going to manage one of two ways. They're going to manage out of design, plan, or default. It's just, they're just firefighting and surviving through it.
Yeah. It has me thinking about myself. I dripped off and started thinking about myself.
But now you know why I'm a life coach for leaders.
Yeah.
Because this is how I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I don't coach for an organization, because they would hate me, because I'd have all their people doing stuff they love doing.
But they shouldn't. They shouldn't hate you, because they love what they're doing. They're going to be more reliable and more loyal to them. But yeah.
Absolutely. I was kidding. I was teasing. Insecure organizations don't necessarily want a coach, because they think they just want people to sit in their mold. Where the thing is that you're bringing talent that can actually show you a new way to grow.
Yes. And even if they are the worker bee, I like that term, the worker bee.
I love worker bees.
They're going to appreciate where they're at, because they know you appreciate them.
I couldn't do what I do. I wouldn't be as happy if I didn't have my worker bees. And they have no desire to rule the world. They love following. You know what I mean? They love being an expert in what they do, which is brilliant. I'm so grateful.
What worker bees, if you want to put them that way, still may be the majority of the workforce.
Yeah, for sure. They're carrying out a lot of the stuff. You're not an effective leader if you're carrying out all the stuff.
No.
Your job is to be a brilliant orchestrator.
Yeah.
But be in the pit with the band.
Oh, great way to put it. You can't conduct the band, you can't conduct the orchestra if you're not in the orchestra pit.
No. You get down there in the pit with them and work from there. Yep. Mm. You're not sitting up in the balcony. That's great.
I like that. I have just looked at the timing, and we have gone way past what we normally do.
You can just edit me to death if you want.
No, not at all, because I think what we've covered is a lot of powerful, good thinking methods that people are going to listen to. Yeah, we're going to make sure this gets out a lot, but I want to ask you one other question, and this is a hard question, so I'm just going to throw it up on the screen for us here.
I'm ready for it.
It's not going to be an easy one, but I'll put it up. Here we go.
Yeah, I'll put my glasses on.
What question did we not ask you that we should have asked you?
How tall am I?
6'2", so I'm looking
at... You knew that. I don't think that's a hard question. We just organically, you planned it out. I glanced over some of the questions that you sent me, and I literally glanced over them because I like having a conversation and having a connection with you. Yes. So thanks for preparing me. But no, I don't think you missed anything. I think maybe how people find me if they want more help on leadership, just make sure that they have that contact.
And there it is up on the screen. So, yeah, and this is a critical thing, because oftentimes I've found that when people are listening in, they need to be able to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I made a little screenshot of whatever it's called, bottom third, so it'd be there for you. Because I think when it comes time to get coaching, we have to look in a different spot. We can't look at someone on our level. We got to look at somebody who's at a different level. I think you bought that today, and I want to thank you very much for taking so much time. I know, and we originally talked about this, we talked about 30, 35 minutes, and we're at an hour now.
It's fine. It was really fun.
And I thank you for the additional time so much. Thank you.
No, it's so my pleasure, and it was lovely. And see, my phone's even ringing now.
Yeah,
so
there we go.
If anybody wants to find my book, you make sure that they can see that.
Okay, yeah.
The easiest way to find it is just to Google my name. Just Google my name. Because there's a lot of books. There's a lot of books called Unstuck Yourself. I didn't know that. My publisher probably should have told me that. But anyway, so just Google Samantha Buckley Hugesson. There's probably like 14 books called Unstuck Yourself.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that's up there so everybody can. That'll be as those things will be in the description. That's why I asked you for all your.
You're amazing. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you for connecting with us here at Touchstone Publishers. Please join our group, Essential Leadership Skills, and share your leadership knowledge with us all.